It was a beautiful summer evening in the year 1826. The spacious Mendelssohn mansion on the outskirts of Berlin was buzzing with activity. In the garden, a podium had been erected and chairs were placed on the lawn. A concert was to be given for a great number of guests, more than the music room would hold. Now the members of the small orchestra took their seats. A slim youngster with curly dark hair stepped up on the conductor's stand. There was an expectant silence as Felix raised his baton. The musicians began his overture to A Midsummer Night's Dream. As the music floated through the garden, it was as if the magic realm of Shakespeare's immortal comedy had come to life. First, the theme of Puck and his mischievous elves. Then the song of the bewitched lovers. The audience listened enchanted. Not since the days of Mozart had such music been composed by a boy. Mendelssohn was born in 1809, the second child of a rich banker. When his parents named him Felix, the happy one, it seemed a good omen for the future. Blessed as he was with extraordinary talent and a sunny disposition, handsome, adored by his family, and loved by his friends, Felix was very happy indeed. He did not have to bear any of the struggle and privation suffered by so many of the other great composers. The Mendelssohns were a highly cultured family of great wealth. They did everything to develop the musical talent of little Felix. He was hardly more than 4 years old when his mother started to give him and his older sister, Fanny, their first music lessons. Children made such great progress that soon the best professional musicians were engaged to teach them piano, violin, and composition. In addition, they took lessons in Greek, Latin, and all the required school subjects. It was a busy and happy life in the big house, which resounded with music and with the cheerful noises of the children. There were by now four little musicians in the Mendelssohn home. The two youngest ones, Rebecca and Paul, were also quite gifted and often participated in the weekly musicales. The girl singing and the boy playing the cello. Felix was closest to his sister Fanny. He loved her so dearly that the two children were almost inseparable. When Felix began to devote himself more and more to composing, Fanny followed his example. At the age of 12, he had already created more than 50 pieces of all styles, several piano sonatas, some songs, a trio for piano and strings, and two little operas. His teacher, Carl Zelter, an eminent scholar of theory, foresaw a great future for the boy. So proud was he of his pupil that he took him to Weimar, there to meet Goethe, Germany's greatest poet and a close friend of Zelter's. This was indeed a rare honor for the boy who knew that people made pilgrimages to Weimar just to catch a glimpse of the aging master. Goethe received Felix with kindness and asked him to play some of his own compositions. The youngster played the spring song from the Songs Without Words. Family party, in honor of Felix's 15th birthday, his teacher Zelter pronounced him no longer a student, but a fellow artist and an accomplished composer. Soon thereafter, the young master wrote one of his most important works, the Octet for Strings. To this day, this piece is considered a miracle of beauty, charm, and imagination. Great plan occupied Mendelssohn's mind. Sometime before, he had been introduced by Zelter to the music of Bach's St. Matthew Passion. Felix studied this immortal work for many months and realized that here a priceless treasure of music had been buried and forgotten for more than 100 years. Despite all the difficulties in assembling a large orchestra, chorus, and several soloists, the youth, not yet 20, achieved a marvelous feat of organization. The world will forever be grateful to Mendelssohn for having rediscovered this genius. Composer spent the next years in extended traveling. He went to England, where he was warmly welcomed by the musical public. Mendelssohn first appeared at a Philharmonic concert. He conducted his symphony in C minor, which met with enormous success. After the graceful scherzo, there was so much applause that he had to repeat it. When the London season closed, Mendelssohn went to Scotland with a friend. He visited the Hebrides Islands and was deeply impressed by their lonely beauty. When he saw Fingal's Cave, a natural wonder where the sea comes crashing among the huge pillars of rock, musical themes formed in his mind. Out of them grew the great Fingal's Cave Overture. inspired him with its colorful people and vivid landscape. He wrote his parents, "I believe I found today, in an old chapel, the beginning of my Scottish symphony." Mendelssohn continued his travels through France and Switzerland. He had a wonderful time in Paris, which was then the center of musical life in Europe. Liszt, Berlioz, Paganini, Chopin, the young Richard Wagner, the country's greatest composers, made their home in Paris. Many of them became Mendelssohn's close friends. Filled with unforgettable impressions, he finally left France to settle down in Rome for the winter. Italy, of course, was also a place of fascination for Mendelssohn, who passionately loved nature. Many of his most beautiful works were conceived during this journey, such as the overture Calm Seas and Prosperous Voyage. It may have been inspired by the view of Naples, with the sea sparkling in the sun-lighted bay. Thank you. In Rome, great preparations had been made to celebrate carnival season. There were parades, dances, and fireworks. Merrymakers and masqueraders went through the streets singing and throwing confetti. Felix happily joined in the fun. The finale of his Italian symphony pictures vividly the gay mood of those street scenes. Remember how Felix Mendelssohn wrote the overture to A Midsummer Night's Dream when he was only 17. Now, 17 years later, the King of Prussia asked the composer to write more incidental music to Shakespeare's comedy. One of the most famous sections is, of course, the Wedding March. Mendelssohn was appointed the town director of music at the German city of Düsseldorf. There he conducted the first performance of a work completely different from anything he had written so far, the oratorio St. Paul. Always working with great speed and facility, Mendelssohn created a number of works for the piano, among them many preludes, sonatas, and those charming little pieces which he called Songs Without Words, and the famous concerto in G minor. Thank you. age of 27, Mendelssohn settled in the German city of Leipzig as conductor of the famous Gewandhaus Orchestra, one of the finest in Europe. He was now at the height of his career. Honors were bestowed on him by many royal personages. The King of Saxony made him Kapellmeister of his court, and Queen Victoria sent the young composer a high decoration. A new masterwork, published at that time, enchanted the audiences everywhere and added to Mendelssohn's fame, his Violin Concerto. A piece of noble beauty, charm, and brilliance, it is still considered one of the most important works in a violinist's repertoire. The year 1837 brought deepest happiness to Mendelssohn. He married Cécile Jeanrenaud, the beautiful daughter of a French minister. It was an ideal marriage of true love and lifelong devotion, blessed with several children. Despite all his heavy duties, Mendelssohn would often manage to spend a quiet evening with his family. Then he played the piano for the little ones, who listened spellbound. Their favorite piece, which they always demanded as an encore, was the brilliant Spinning Song. Conductor and pianist, Mendelssohn remained in Leipzig for the rest of his life, a life that was to be so tragically short. He liked the city very much and worked incessantly to make it a center of music and art. A long-cherished plan of his was carried out in 1843. He founded the Leipzig Conservatory, which became one of Europe's most famous institutions. Mendelssohn assembled a faculty of the finest musicians. Among them was his contemporary, Robert Schumann. The two men had become close friends. Schumann, a great composer in his own right, admired Felix for his wonderful talent and loved him for his charming personality. Success had never spoiled Mendelssohn. He accepted it with great modesty, striving constantly for perfection in his art. Thank you. crowning glory of his career was the very last composition he wrote, the oratorio Elijah. It had taken him 10 long years to form it in his mind. It was a masterwork. In 1846, when Mendelssohn returned from a triumphal tour of England, he seemed to be very tired. His strength, which he had used to the limit of endurance, gave out. And just then, fate dealt him a severe blow. His beloved sister Fanny suddenly passed away in Berlin. He never quite recovered from this shock, yet with restless energy, the master tried to create new works. Not to be. In November of 1847, Mendelssohn died at the age of 38. The funeral was attended by hundreds of musicians and students of the conservatory. Mendelssohn left a rich treasure of music, which today sounds as fresh and inspiring as it did 100 years ago. His life was short, but a beautiful one, with every hope and ambition fulfilled. About him it might be said, he passed through this world on wings of song. Italy, of course, was also a place of fascination for Mendelssohn, who passionately loved nature. Many of his most beautiful works were conceived during this journey, such as the overture Calm Seas and Prosperous Voyage. It may have been inspired by the view of Naples, with the sea sparkling in the sun-lighted bay. In Rome, great preparations had been made to celebrate carnival season. There were parades, dances, and fireworks. Merrymakers and masqueraders went through the streets singing and throwing confetti. Felix happily joined in the fun. The finale of his Italian symphony pictures vividly the gay mood of those street scenes. Remember how Felix Mendelssohn wrote the overture to A Midsummer Night's Dream when he was only 17. Now, 17 years later, the King of Prussia asked the composer to write more incidental music to Shakespeare's comedy. One of the most famous sections is, of course, the Wedding March. In 1936, Mendelssohn was appointed the town director of music at the German city of Düsseldorf. There, he conducted the first performance of a work completely different from anything he had written so far, the Oratorio St. Paul. Always working with great speed and facility, Mendelssohn created a number of works for the piano, among them many preludes, sonatas, and those charming little pieces which he called Songs Without Words, and the famous concerto in G minor. Thank you. 1847, Mendelssohn settled in the German city of Leipzig as conductor of the famous Gewandhaus Orchestra, one of the finest in Europe. He was now at the height of his career. Honors were bestowed on him by many royal personages. The King of Saxony made him Kapellmeister of his court, and Queen Victoria sent the young composer a high decoration. A new masterwork, published at that time, enchanted the audiences everywhere and added to Mendelssohn's fame, his Violin Concerto. A piece of noble beauty, charm, and brilliance, it is still considered one of the most important works in a violinist's repertoire. The year 1837 brought deepest happiness to Mendelssohn. He married Cécile Jeanrenaud, the beautiful daughter of a French minister. It was an ideal marriage of true love and lifelong devotion, blessed with several children. Despite all his heavy duties, Mendelssohn would often manage to spend a quiet evening with his family. Then he played the piano for the little ones, who listened spellbound. Their favorite piece, which they always demanded as an encore, was the brilliant Spinning Song. Conductor and pianist, Mendelssohn remained in Leipzig for the rest of his life, a life that was to be so tragically short. He liked the city very much and worked incessantly to make it a center of music and art. A long-cherished plan of his was carried out in 1843. He founded the Leipzig Conservatory, which became one of Europe's most famous institutions. Mendelssohn assembled a faculty of the finest musicians. Among them was his contemporary, Robert Schumann. The two men had become close friends. Schumann, a great composer in his own right, admired Felix for his wonderful talent and loved him for his charming personality. Success had never spoiled Mendelssohn. He accepted it with great modesty, striving constantly for perfection in his art. Thank you. crowning glory of his career was the very last composition he wrote, the oratorio Elijah. It had taken him 10 long years to form it in his mind. It was a masterwork. In 1846, when Mendelssohn returned from a triumphal tour of England, he seemed to be very tired. His strength, which he had used to the limit of endurance, gave out. And just then, fate dealt him a severe blow. His beloved sister Fanny suddenly passed away in Berlin. He never quite recovered from this shock, yet with restless energy, the master tried to create new works. Not to be. In November of 1847, Mendelssohn died at the age of 38. The funeral was attended by hundreds of musicians and students of the conservatory. Mendelssohn left a rich treasure of music, which today sounds as fresh and inspiring as it did 100 years ago. His life was short, but a beautiful one, with every hope and ambition fulfilled. About him it might be said, he passed through this world on wings of song.
Oh, Thank you.